Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week we are continuing our discussion of what it means that we have eternal life. Eternal life is the life that's in God, the very life and substance and being of God, the life in God came into us when we were born again. We are united to the life in God through Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. That life is in us to transform us. It has already transformed us from sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. It will ultimately affect every part of our being, our soul, and our body, making us like Jesus in every part of our being. But right now, that life in our spirit is intended to affect the way we live in this life. That life in us is in us to enable us and empower us to live and walk even as Jesus walked in this life. To experience outwardly the effects of these inward changes, we have to know what's in us, so we're taking time to talk about it, and we have to believe what is in us. By faith, we access the life and the power of God in us. Our part is to know what's in us and to believe it. God's part is to produce outward evidence of the life in us. We've covered a lot of ground over these past few weeks. I'd love to repeat it all. If you've missed the previous lessons, you can go to our website and find the radio lessons or the lessons we've done over the past few weeks, or you can call us. We'll send you copies of the lessons. I'd love to repeat, but it's Friday, so we need to jump in. What we've been focusing on for the last half of this week is the fact that this life that's in us has made us overcomers. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. If you're born again today, you're an overcomer. There's nothing that can come against you that's bigger than God in you, and you are well able to overcome. Now, the problem is you don't feel like that. The problem is that looks impossible. We tend to walk by sight rather than by faith. But the Apostle Paul, who had outward demonstration of the life of God in him, in other words, in difficult situations, he experienced Jesus as his strength. In challenging situations, he experienced the life of God as health in his physical body. He experienced God in him as joy in his emotions and peace in his emotions. He had outward evidence of the life within. He said that happened through faith. He made the statement in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith and not by sight, in the context of awareness of inward ability. He knew what was in him. And in the context of experiencing that life outwardly in his soul and body. We walk by faith in what's in us and not by what we see and feel in our flesh and in our environment. We've used this example every day. I'm going to say it one more time. This is the way most of us live. We feel weak, therefore we conclude we must be weak. Well, that's contrary to the scripture. You're walking by sight. To walk by sight means to base what you believe and how you act on what you see and feel. To walk by faith means to base what you believe and how you act on what God says. I understand you feel weak. I understand you are weak in comparison to what's coming against you if the only evidence you had was what you see and what you feel. But there's more to the story than what you see and feel. There's the Word of Almighty God who tells us the way things really are. And if you're born again, you're in union with Almighty God. The very same life that reanimated the dead body of Jesus in the grave, that life is in you now. The same life by which Jesus overcame when he was on this earth. He lived as a man. fully God, fully man, but he put aside his rights and privileges as God when he was on this earth and lived as a man in dependence on the life of his Father in him. That life that enabled him to overcome in every situation and circumstance he faced is in you now, because you're a branch of the vine, because you're in union with him. Now, for the past few days, we've been talking about what faith and sight looks like in a practical way. Many of the accounts in the Old Testament were recorded so that we don't make the same mistakes they made. And in the Old Testament, we have a startling example of people who walked by sight rather than by faith. And God, although God had made full provision for them, it didn't come to pass in their lives because they walked by sight and not by faith. The group that God brought out of bondage in Egypt, delivered them from slavery, brought him to the edge of a land called Canaan, modern-day Israel, with the intention of bringing them in to settle. He brought them out of slavery to bring them into a land of full provision, but they never entered in and were specifically told that they did not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't mix faith with God's word, God's promise to them. And we find out in Numbers 13 and 14 that what they did was walk by sight rather than by faith. At the edge of the land, the decision was made to send 12 spies into the land to check it out. They came back with a report that it was indeed a beautiful land, but there were formidable obstacles, walled cities, warlike tribes, and giant warriors. All the spies saw the same thing, but two of them, Joshua and Caleb, concluded, "We are well able to take this land despite what we see." 10 concluded, "We can't take this land. In fact, we'll die if we try." And they influenced the entire nation and all refused to enter the land. Everybody got exactly what they believed about their situation. Joshua and Caleb eventually entered Canaan and settled. Everybody else died in the wilderness in between Egypt and Canaan. Now, what Israel did is called unbelief. And the report that the 10 spies gave to everybody about the land in Numbers 13:32 is called an evil report. When we read it, we find out they did not cuss, they did not blaspheme, they simply assessed their situation only in terms of what they could see. They saw walled cities, they saw warriors much bigger and stronger than them, and it made them afraid. That's how they felt. And they concluded, based on what they could see and what they could feel, that they couldn't enter the land. They did not bring God's word into the discussion. Here's what God had said to them by this point in their journey. Number one, if we go back four generations to their ancestor Abraham, God had made a covenant with him, a binding contract, that he and his descendants would inherit this land of Canaan. I don't have time to read it, but you can go back to Genesis 15 and read it. God told Abraham, "Your descendants will inherit this land." That word "inherit" in the Hebrew means to occupy by driving out its previous tenants and possessing in their place. It means to take possession through conquering. The very first thing God said to these people about the land was, "You're going to possess it by driving out its previous tenants. You're going to conquer it, take possession through conquering." That's what God told him. God further told Abraham that his descendants would temporarily live in a foreign land under afflictive conditions, but that he would bring them back to the land. Now, that information given by God to Abraham was passed down from father to son down to the generation in Egypt. So they knew that God had already said, "You are going to conquer when you enter this land. You're going to take possession of it through conquering. I'm going to bring you back to this land." Then when God commissioned Moses to lead them out of bondage in Egypt, God's first words to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 6 were, "I've come to deliver you out of this condition and bring you back to the land." And then throughout the next 9 months, God clearly demonstrated his power, his protection, and his provision for his people during those 10 plagues through which Pharaoh was persuaded to let Israel go. All those plagues, not one of them touched Egypt. the frogs, the flies, the hailstorms. God protected, not one of those plagues touched Egypt. Not one of those plagues touched Israel. God protected his people. God showed them his power. The night before they left Egypt, God instructed them to do the Passover dinner, kill the lamb, put its blood on the post. And he told them, you're going to repeat this yearly once you're settled in the land. So for 400 years, God's been saying, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt and bring you into the land. You're going to take the land by conquering it. I brought you out of Egypt to bring you in. When you get into the land, you're going to reenact this ceremony yearly. He showed them his protection and what it looks like throughout the 9 months of the plagues that hit Israel, or that hit Egypt. Israel was protected. But in spite of all this, the 10 spies at the edge of the land said, we look like grasshoppers in our own sight and in the sight of our enemies. Nothing could have been further from the truth, because once they actually do go settle in the land, once Joshua and Caleb settle the land, we find out in Joshua chapter 2 that the people of the land had heard what God had done to Egypt. He had defeated the most powerful army in the world for his people, and that these people were coming at them. The people in the land were terrified of Israel. So the spies' assessment of the land, we look like grasshoppers compared to the obstacles, and the people of the land view us as grasshoppers. That assessment was completely wrong. The people of the land were terrified of them. Those people walked by sight. They assessed their circumstances only in terms of what they could see and what God, only in terms of what they could see and how they felt about their circumstances. But when we read what Joshua and Caleb said, they said, we're well able to overcome because God is with us. God will defeat our enemies for us. All of them saw the same thing, but 10 of them assessed their circumstances only in terms of what they could see. They walked by sight. But Joshua and Caleb, they didn't deny what they saw, but they realized there was more to reality than what they could see. God was with them and had promised to fight for them and bring them into the land. So they assessed their circumstances in terms of the word of God. That's faith. And guess what? God's power was activated on their behalf to bring those two into the land. We walk by faith and not by sight and experience his power. More next week.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.